speaking today with Ronald Hale, who is a candidate for District A, City Council, Houston. Ronald, thank you for talking to me. Why are you running for this office?
To be the voice of the unheard.
Can you elaborate a little on that?
Well, a lot of areas in the district, they're not under the Spring Branch Management District. They have their own management districts, and it seems that only the wealthy are being taken care of. And the past administrations for District A, going back 15 years, have just neglected some areas to a point where property values have dropped down, and it's unsightly when you drive through it. You wonder why the management district doesn't do their job when city council members should tell them, hey, if you're going to take care of our city streets and our esplanades, do the right job.
Okay. Now, according to your website, you are in private security.
Yes.
Tell me a bit about what you do.
Well, the private security company that I work for, we actually work with homeowners associations right now. We give them the turnkey services. We do their security on property, their access control, their cameras, their lighting. Some of the homeowners associations recently have contracted us to solve their flooding issues on property because the city came in and redid roads and now their property floods. So we actually installed underground pumps to pump into the city's drainage.
All right, so between, I guess, does that include like security alarms and stuff?
Yeah.
So I would think that between that and what you're just talking about there relating to flooding, you intersect with the city on a number of levels.
Yeah.
What's your experience been, and where do you see opportunities as a council member to improve those services?
Well, I think the whole technology base that's starting to come out, and the city's starting to implement a lot of technology to actually make city services work more smoothly together, it needs a real jump start, not just a hackathon, as the mayor calls it, where she actually says, hey, we're going to have a competition, anybody who wants to create an app for the city, you know, it slows the process down when you could actually hire somebody, a city employee, that's a developer to develop apps and to really develop the city's website. Because a lot of that just, it hurts people to have to deal with going downtown to do a lot of things in order to get things done in their business. Like the permitting process I want to say it's obscene. I filed for an alarm permit for my house 3 months ago, and I haven't received it.
Okay. What would your priorities be, and what do you see as the district's priorities if you're elected?
I think the district's priorities is flooding. Ever since the TRZ report came out for the Briar Spur being done wrong, making the backflow come into the district, it really needs insight that is going to go in and make sure when jobs get done, no matter what district it's in, there's some kind of oversight there to make sure that they're doing the job that they said they were going to do.
Okay. I mean, right now the city's primary vehicle for dealing with flooding and street repair is the Rebuild Houston. What is your view of how that is going, and you know, what would you like to see done with it to make it better?
I would like to see planning and development and public works working hand in hand with Rebuild Houston, because they go in and they fix at Bingle and Hammerly. They went in and they relaid about 15 yards of two-lane road to level out some potholes. Now there's an Anise Parker beautiful Rebuild Houston sign at that intersection that in 6 months they're going to go in and they're going to redo the whole intersection for $4 million. And somebody said to me the average cost of what they did was $250,000 to level out the intersection. Now they're going to come back in, spend another whatever they're going to spend, the $4 million, and just tear out what was just put in. There's a lot of miscommunication between the city's service departments that actually deal with the infrastructure and the roadways. And I think that that needs to be every council member's like main point when they come in for their budget. If their budget doesn't include them working together closely and having some kind of like technology that shows them, okay, these are all the projects that are going on, this is where our project is going to intersect, hey, you guys are about to start a project there, do you think it can wait till we get there, or is it an emergency and it has to be done? So some kind of mapping technology for the city services.
What is your view of the city's current financial situation? A couple years ago, of course, the city was in a severe deficit situation with the budget, had to cut a lot of services, lay some employees off. The economy's better. There's more revenue coming in. Most of the services have been restored. What's your view overall of the city's financial situation?
Well, me, I'm not a financial guy, but I do know that if we don't have the budget to do the jobs that we're wanting to do in this new pay-as-you-go system that we have, it's helping to not do the overspending, but I think a lot of the projects, if we started communicating better on the city level with all the departments, they could save more money, and they'd actually solve a lot of the budgeting issues by not doing double projects like we were talking about with Planning and Development and Rebuild Houston. But with like the fire department and police department, you know, their pension funds, they're a major drain on the city's budget.
Well, since you mentioned the pension, as you know, Mayor Parker has been trying to get the legislature to pass a bill that would subject the firefighters' pension fund to meet and confer, which the police and municipal employees' pension funds are already subject to. Do you support this effort to get legislation passed to subject them to meet and confer?
I think meet and confer on one hand is a good idea. On the other hand, meet and conferred, the city can be held hostage, and so it kind of gets to a point of, you know, it depends on who's in charge of the meet and confer, who's going to be the representative. Does that representative understand the rules of meet and confer, the objections that city council members could have to coming to a table and them having this obscene amount and saying, well, this is our deal, and if you can't meet it, we're going to go ahead and we're just going to go on strike. We're going to tell all the members to go on strike. So meet and confer on one hand is a good thing, but on the other hand, it can hurt the city in the long run.
Okay. All right. As you know, the city recently passed some major revisions to Chapter 42, the Development and Density Code. What's your view of the changes to Chapter 42?
Well, it's hitting my district. I'm going to call it C42. When it first passed in the inner loop, a lot of our homeowners associations were worried about it, and the city came to them and told them the same thing that they're telling the outer loop people now, that, you know, you have nothing to worry about. Your homeowners association rules or on books with the county, they're going to protect you. And I told everybody in District A, I was like, if you want to believe what the city is telling you, go drive, and I gave them specific neighborhoods to go drive into, and you can see that it's a homeowners association, they're protected, yet on every other block there's 8 units on a quarter acre of land or a half acre. It just, there's no real protection. It's the homeowners association has to hire a lawyer if some builder comes in and gets their permits approved, because the city's in it for money. They're not in it for...
Well, as you say, there are, and as we have seen, there are often disputes between neighborhoods and developers when we're seeing it all in a number of locations in the city now, where developers want to build some multi-story, multi-unit dwelling, and the neighborhood doesn't want it. But the fact is, neighborhoods don't have a whole lot of tools to deal with that. Of course, we're in a no-zoning city. What, if anything, do you think should be done to, you know, affect the balance between developers who want to build and neighborhoods that want to have some control over what gets built?
I think if the city would, I think it's, what is it, Chapter 9, if they would actually go in and enforce Chapter 9, all the rules for a developer when they decide to develop, and implementing certain things where the infrastructure in the area gets repaired to deal with what's about to come, I think it would probably drive a lot of those developers further outside the city, because they would say, I don't want to build a retention pond for building an 8-unit house. I don't want to have to pay for new drainage on the roadway for a quarter mile in front of where I'm building. It would it would probably hurt the developers, but at the same time, when you do develop more units on an acre of land, you do get a wider tax base. So it is a good thing, but at the same time, it depends on who the homeowners are, because they'll disagree with it.
Okay. Houston has developed a reputation nationally for being a really good place for food, and we're sitting here in a restaurant talking. And
brick and mortar.
Yes, brick and mortar restaurant, but food trucks have been at the forefront of this new revolution in food in Houston. Yeah. And as you know, the food truck owners recently came before city council to ask for changes to ordinances that would allow them to operate downtown. Council hasn't taken this up yet, but it's likely to come up again in the near future. Do you support the efforts to change city ordinances to allow food trucks to operate downtown?
I do. I think the... I remember when I first started working, and I worked downtown at the Rice Hotel as a valet parker, they had food carts. Food carts were great. The same family had been in business for, I think, 30 years, and the city actually drove him out of business because he actually had it to where he was the only one, he was grandfathered into the permitting process to be able to have a cart food because the city had passed some ordinance, I think, in the early 80s that said, you know, you had to have strict guidelines in order to be able to have a food cart. And it was great hot dogs. I think everybody in downtown used to get hot dogs from his carts. And then he got shut down because he forgot to refile his permit. And, you know, to be able to have food trucks in downtown, because I know when you go out to eat downtown, you can end up spending $30 for one person just eating lunch. Compared to a food truck, you can spend $2, $5, maybe $10 and get a really good meal. And it brings diversity towards downtown for eating.
Okay. In 2001, there was a charter amendment passed in the city of Houston that forbade it from offering domestic partner benefits to its employees. Nation has changed some. You know, the Supreme Court invalidated the Defense of Marriage Act. That's at the federal level. But still, in Texas, even a number of cities and some school districts are now allowing domestic partner benefits for their employees. If a movement comes up in Houston to, you know, to overturn that charter amendment, is that something you would support?
I think equal rights are equal rights, and somebody's sexual orientation shouldn't have an effect on equal rights, and that's my stance on that. I would support it if it was they want equal rights, not that they're going to create this argument of how we are. This is my lifestyle. I should be allowed. You want equal rights. Just say you want equal rights. It's easy to say, and then more people will come to the understanding of giving everyone equal rights.
Okay. I'm asking every candidate this question. Who are you supporting for mayor in November?
That's a tough race. I think the way Anise runs city council hurts the city as a whole. I think Ben Hall has great ideas towards what city council could be, and then being a conservative Republican, everybody would think I would back Eric Dick, but I just personally, I think he's doing it for name recognition, and I don't feel he's a strong enough candidate, so I'm going to have to say I back Ben Hall for mayor.
Okay. And when people go to vote this November, why should they vote to make you the next council member in District A?
Because I'm the only person that isn't a career politician in my race, and I will be the voice of the unheard.
Okay. Ronald Tail, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you.